Saturday morning, Power Talk Radio 1460 and 101 FM. Edward King is in studio with us as we are chatting with Edward about careers and job training because he's the CEO of Alliance Career Training Solutions right here in Salinas and now in Santa Cruz as well. Good morning, Edward.
Good morning, Mark.
Hey, the other day we were talking about hiring new employees, yep. Right? And should you and how you go about doing it. And we ran out of time. And before we get into today's topic, I just wanted to finish up on this. I had a question for you about using online background searches to check information on a new hire or a potential new hire. Right. Is that something you do? Is it a good thing to do? And are the online services reliable?
Oh, that's very good. I think it's a pervasive thing that is going on. And the issues are both good and bad. You know, from a good standpoint, you do have the ability to find out more information than you see on the resume and cover letter or just your natural walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it also, though, does go into an area of not recognizing that the stupidity a person might have done when they're 18 or 19 is
right.
Nothing like who they are right now at 30.
Good point.
And, you know, so you have to take it with a grain of salt or maybe a half a pound of salt.
Mm-hmm.
I think then from the other standpoint that it also should make people be more aware or more sensitive to what they're posting on social media,
mm-hmm.
You know, their Facebook and all of the others. You know, you can't just rely on making LinkedIn your live and active resume. So I think there's positives, and I definitely know that there are negatives. And I guess over time, we'll see that kind of go away.
I've heard of some companies requiring applicants and new employees to make their supervisor a Facebook friend,
yeah.
As an example, and give them full access to everything they post.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is a violation of the individual's privacy and whether, you know, they want to share that with someone.
Yeah.
I think that anything that's in the public domain, court records and things like that,
yeah.
I think that's fair game,
right?
But I think, you know, saying to someone, you have to make me a Facebook friend so I can see what you're up to online.
Right.
Boy, that's, I think it's a violation of trust. And then at the same time, it also says, I don't think I trust you and I want to see what you really are doing.
Right. And in addition to that, with what we're seeing in today's world, I think that the problem is you're not just looking at their kind of their moral fabric. What you're also starting to look at is their political leading.
Mm-hmm.
And in essence, you know, we keep robbing people's independence and ability to have their own thoughts.
Right.
And so when we start leaning one direction or another within our organization, we really aren't going to be getting good ideas. What we're ending up with is a bunch of sheep.
Okay.
That are just following everybody.
Hey, speaking of the workplace, we're going to talk about benefits and the cost of benefits.
Yeah.
And you had a real eye-opening experience this past week where you were looking at purchasing health insurance for your employees. Tell us what happened.
Oh, my. I'm not going to be able to sleep anymore. So I have 7 employees that want and need insurance. And so we've been in the marketplace and looking at some of the cost. And the last numbers I got was for 7 people, $84,000.
Which is $12,000 per employee.
$12,000 an employee. And I have a nice spread. You know, my oldest is 58. My youngest, you know, and I have some in my early 30s. They're middle, early 30s, not mine. And so, you know, when you're looking at it, that's an aggregate price for all of them.
Right.
And $84,000 is just unaffordable.
Right. And it's 12,000 per employee. So it's $1,000 a month per employee.
Yeah.
That's if you were going to pay 100% of it. Now, could your employees afford to pay, say, 1/3 or 1/4 of that? And could you do it at $750 a month or $700 a month for the business?
Well, the situation is twofold. Once you start going down that route, you have to look at how much are you paying the employee and can they afford the $250 or more? And I think that right now the market is so tenuous with prices going up in January and continuing to go up, as I've been told, you know, the requirement to have insurance, whatever they're taxing that as, is being dropped at a federal level. But I now know that California's got things called shadow laws, and they're actually going to reinforce that here in California. That's going to just be in lockstep with the fact that the rates, when that mandate goes away, the rates are going to go up again.
Yes.
So you basically, let's look at it this way. Take my $84,000 and add 30%. 10% to that.
Oh, my.
So now I've gone from 84,000 to 108,000 in regards to a 12-month cost. Now, 108,000 covers two employees, meaning I could hire two more employees for that same amount and get a lot more teaching done and a lot more work done. And when you have a small business, it's the most difficult decision to make one way or the other. You get bigger businesses over 50 or over 500 or 1,000 or something like that, and their rates go from the 1,000 down to 500.
Yeah, so it really gets to a situation where you can't make enough money in the business to be able to buy the benefits. I mean, for you to be able to buy the benefits, the amount of business that you're doing and producing from each employee would have to go up so much that when you look at it and say, well, you know, it's not really possible to bill out that much more.
No, and so this whole question, the problem about the price, the sad thing is I bought insurance for my employees 10, 20 years ago, and I was in the $200 range per employee and better coverage. So I don't know what happened when they passed the Affordable Healthcare Act. I was told that the 50,000 pages of documentation wasn't actually a regulation or a law. It was just kind of a sketch that they voted on so that no one knew what the real costs were.
Right.
And the results of this is we're sitting in a market that the cost is really high, the deductions are really high, what's covered is very low, and it's just kind of a lose-lose, and I don't know what the solution is.
With your employees, you say, well, can they afford to pay like $200 or $300 a month towards the policy? Do you have any employees now that are buying their own insurance on the individual market, and maybe they're paying a lot more, so if they had the opportunity to buy it through, pay their portion through your business, it might be a saving to them?
Yeah, you know, there are actually some solutions for that. You have the ability to actually, as you know, first off, the healthcare insurance coverage is not taxable to the employee, and you don't end up paying employer taxes on top of that. If you actually just pay their insurance, you might be able to find a more affordable method to use their actual cost and not reimburse them, but actually pay for it. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not going to recommend you not to go talk to your CPA. So go talk to your CPA. Make sure that what you've set up, an HRA or whatever, is legitimate, and so you're protected. But there could be some ways that you can, how can you say it, skin the cat differently?
Yeah. Well, Edward, one of the other things, too, that could be done, the Congress has to pass the legislation, and they haven't really gotten around to doing this yet, but it is to make association, what do they call it, association plans, where small businesses like yours, a whole bunch of them can band together and buy a similar policy.
Right.
So you become like a company of 20,000 people, and you get that really good rate. So you would be able to maybe insure your employees for $400 an employee per month.
Right.
And then you could say, well, look, I'm going to pick up 75% of this. You need to pay $100 a month for this $50 out of each check you paid twice a month.
Right.
That's something that could become very affordable.
Yeah. Now, that is a great solution. I know that in this area, there's a trust that is out there, that depending on if you qualify or not. And when we looked at that pricing, it went from the $1,000 a month to $546 a month. And that was a viable option for us.
Is that something you're going to do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's
because I want to provide coverage for my employees. I want to give them the opportunity to have coverage. There is no perfect coverage out there anymore. You know, when my wife, who's passed now, was going through cancer, we covered our out of pocket, and we covered our, you know, that whole process in January. So the other 11 months out of the year, we were pretty much fully covered, which was good because just one of our medication, one pill per day, was $3,000 a month.
Wow.
Just one pill. And you add all the others and all the other doctor visits and hospitals and surgeries.
Well, you know how we got into this situation of businesses being expected to pay for insurance or provide health insurance for their employees?
Yeah.
You can lay this on the doorstep of Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Right.
And back in the 1930s, as part of a lot of their misguided policies to try and revive the economy, they instituted wage and price controls, and you couldn't give employees raises. No matter how good of a job an employee of yours was doing, you couldn't give that person a raise because it was said to be inflationary.
Wow.
So businesses all across the country tried to figure out a way that they could provide a level of compensation to their employees that was appropriate, and they came up with the idea of providing health insurance to them. Somebody did, and then it caught on like wildfire. Mm-hmm. And back in those days, health insurance coverage was very inexpensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this also goes to the deeper pocket theory. And one of the reasons that I believe health insurance has become so much more expensive than maybe it needs to be is because businesses are paying for it, and businesses generally have deeper pockets than individuals.
Right.
And if we still existed in the pre-FDR world where individuals bought their own insurance, you would probably have more choices out there and lower prices because individual can't afford to pay what businesses could
right.
pay. And I think the best example of that is look at the competitive market you have in auto insurance.
Yeah.
Right? There are lots of different insurance companies to choose from mm-hmm. and many different types of policies, and the prices are all over the place, and you can generally find one that will fit your particular situation.
Right.
But that's my two cents on it, and that's how we got into this situation.
Interesting.
Yeah. Edward King has been our guest today. You can reach Edward at Alliance Career Training Solutions in Salinas and Santa Cruz. And Edward, provide us with the contact info.
Okay, our phone number is 831-755-8200. And better still, come by and visit the school. We're at 333 Abbott Street in Salinas, and we're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 4 p.m.
Thank you, Edward.
Thanks, Mark.